This is mutual.
The following audio drama is rated PG-13, suggesting that children under the age of 13 should listen accompanied with an adult.
Hello, strange world. Adrian Ward here. I speak to you today with a heavy heart in my breast and a heavy reading table chained to my leg. Yes, bit of a complicated situation, or a dreadfully simple one, depending on how you look at it. Anyhow, the facts of the case are, regrettably, these. As you know, mine has been a varied career. When I first came to Watergate at 15, I was a penniless student of the world and its wonders. As my obsessions grew, I found myself doing odd jobs, very odd sometimes, just to keep myself and my ambitions fed. Yes, then everything went pear-shaped and I had to leave. By the time I returned for my second stint at the university as its new vice-chancellor, my circumstances had altered. Having brought my humble discoveries to the marketplace, I found, somewhat to my surprise, that I was rather good at the technology game, both the grubbing and heaping and the search and destroy. A decade after leaving the Ivory Tower, I was one of the wealthiest persons you've ever, well, probably never heard of, actually. No, the role of celebrity billionaire never appealed to me. It's all very well for the Musks and the Bransons of this world, I suppose. They wanted money. Mostly, I just wanted to continue my studies at the bleeding edge of human understanding. And, well, that is not an inexpensive hobby. And all right, yes, it is good fun having a bit of the right stuff to splash about. I may have developed a few appreciations, clothes and food and so on, but I never went full Kublai Khan or anything. Rather wish I had. Really ought to have dedicated myself to buying castles and collecting Picassos and so on. That's a lesson I didn't learn until too late. That money is a thing you've got to shovel out the door as fast as it's coming in. Or else, well, things can get out of hand. It does not do to complain, I suppose, but there is a point beyond which wealth ceases to expand one's options and begins to restrict them. In my case, quite dramatically. Because, you see, when a truly vast amount of money finds its way into a single wallet, it takes on a gravitational force of its own. It sucks things in. More money, for one thing. And friends one has never met, awards one has never heard of, expectations one never expected. And it attracts notice from certain rather dangerous quarters. Yes. Even as I acquired my own collection of satellites, I was myself pulled into a profoundly eccentric orbit. How I got out again is quite another story, You should know. You've been listening to it for over a year now. Suffice it to say, however, that, though I still have only the vaguest understanding of the smash-up that ended my time at Altergate, I am painfully aware that it cost me everything. Really, everything. Forget all that lovely, filthy lucre. I didn't even escape with my life. Not much of it, at least. And what I have left is a right old mess. I spent months upon months unconscious, or mostly unconscious. And for what awareness I did have during that time, I felt very little gratitude. Non-existence. Letting go and shuffling off the old mortal coil. Seemed sometimes an appealing option, sometimes an inevitability. I really thought, inasmuch as I was capable of thinking, that I was going to die. I was mistaken. I did not die, and eventually I realized that I must therefore begin the tedious work of recovery. Forcing myself to open my eyes took weeks of effort. To sit up, to look about me, to engage with reality again. Weeks upon weary weeks. I spent almost a full year lying in bed, reading old books. Certain I wanted to be alive, but unequal to the task of actually living. All of this I have told before, or hinted at. What I have not told, out of consideration for my pride and their privacy, is that all throughout my illness and recovery I have been in the care and keeping of my host. I shall not bore you with the circumstances under which this arrangement came to pass. Suffice it to say that the situation was an accidental one, and cannot be said to have delighted either of us. But there it was, and there it still is. Even now I'm in no state to look after myself, even if I'd the means to do so. As for my host, well, I don't doubt that he's thought long and hard about giving me the old heave-ho. I know that I should have in his place. Be that as it may, however, here I still am, and the two of us have done our best to establish a modus vivendi that makes my presence as tolerable to both of us as possible. Yes, and credit where it's due, my host has not been ungenerous towards his accidental guest. As I returned slowly to the world, he has kept me well supplied, not only with books, but with podcasts and audio dramas. And, once I was well enough to become obnoxiously restless, he suggested I create one of my own. Very gracious of him. A graciousness that I have not, to be perfectly honest, always earned. But you've got to see the thing from my perspective. I still sleep for about 18 out of every 24 hours, but when I'm conscious, I'm bored. It's no life for a chap who once gave himself obsessively to exploration and discovery, to be cooped up all day, every day. And it's possible that, in the grip of cabin fever, I may have been less respectful of my host's property than a good guest ought. My host is aware that I have created this little recording studio in his lumber room. What he does not know is that I have relocated his toaster, electric kettle, and several other little conveniences and comforts to a special hiding place in this little nest of mine. Oh, I think he suspected I was the one who had taken them, but since he couldn't find them, he did the sporting thing and just got new ones. Better ones. In my defense, he hardly ever even used that new kettle, and the old one took ages to boil. So, I swapped them. Really the best solution. But I can understand how he might feel cross. Also, I may have borrowed his identity and incurred debt in the amount of a bit over $340,000. Look, in a sense, he's only himself to blame. I was merely trying to help, trying to repay his kindness with interest. I'd an excellent scheme worked out, a wonderfully broken dodge, playing high-speed cryptocurrency exchanges against one another. Took a lot of doing for a chap in my condition. Lots of grabbing through my host papers, intercepting packages, going up and down stairs. But it was a dead certainty, absolutely bulletproof. In short, my host would have been a fool not to stake me the upfront capital, and I gave him that much credit to consider him no fool. And it would have worked, too. But even the best-laid plans of mice and men go fut when the mouse's host figures out what's going on and pulls the plug on it at just the worst possible moment. I bear no grudge. To understand is to forgive, and I understand. My host, however, is still really quite upset over the whole affair, and I am sorry for that. I acknowledge that, despite the purity of my motives, I must bear some measure of blame. I consider my host's decision that I must, until further notice, remain shackled to this bloody reading table to be unkind, but not entirely unfair. I wish to make things right. Also, I do not wish to go begging for additional funds to defray the costs of producing the Aldergate papers, because, as the saying goes, refusal often offends. Therefore, I turn now to you. You, my beloved listeners, my window to the world. I must beg your help to save the Aldergate papers and to get this bloody table off my leg. You must help me build. Yes. Come pay a visit at the website, www.thealdergatepapers.com, or follow the links in the show note to my Patreon page to give me the support I need and to get the recognition and gratitude you deserve. Also, full day and long play episodes not available to anybody else. And perhaps most importantly, spread the word. Tell your friends that if they're not yet listening to the Aldergate papers, then they'd bloody well better start. Go to Apple Podcasts and leave outrageously wonderful reviews. Like on Facebook and follow on Twitter and just give me the good word, won't you? I am the reason I'm doing this. But you're the reason I'm able to. For a year now, your kind words have helped me to make the Aldergate papers a reality. Now you must help me to carry on. So, thank you for all that has been. Thank you for all that is to come. I have no doubt that I shall return to you once more, and very soon. Until then, I remain your humble servant, Adrian Ward.
Thank Thank you for listening to Tuesday Terror, right here on the Mutual Audio Network. Please consider subscribing to other days of the Mutual feeds, including Monday Matinee for classic live and theatrical audio plays, Wednesday Wonders, our science fiction and fantasy magazine, Thursday Thrillers for action, adventure, mystery, and crime drama, Friday Follies, our end-of-the-week comedy series, the Saturday Story Circle for kids and family alike, and Sunday Showcase, bringing you the very newest in audio releases for the week from our United Artists of Audio, right here on the Mutual Audio Network.
The Mutual Audio Network. Listening and imagining together.